Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everyone listening to the very first episode of MMA Scene Radio. I am your host, Christopher Crawley, and some of you may already be aware of my name. For those of you who aren't, you're probably sitting there to yourself wondering, how is this different than any other podcast out there, and why should I listen to this guy? Well, a little bit about myself and the show. First, the show. This show is dedicated to covering the sport of mixed martial arts worldwide, not just the UFC. We focus on the amateur circuit to the women's scene, all the way up to the biggest names of the sport. I started following the sport of mixed martial arts about 16 years ago, back in 2001. The first event I ever saw was UFC 34. That's the one with the famous Matt Hughes powerbomb of Carlos Newton while in a triangle. I was hooked ever since that, and started following the women's scene a year later, and was hooked on that as well. I started my own show about 7 years ago. In 2010, I started a show called Fight Nation Radio, where I had the opportunity over several years to interview such fighters as former bantamweight champions Ronda Rousey and Miesha Tate. I interviewed current champion Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, current flyweight champion, that is, current welterweight champion Tyron Woodley, and so many others. Current flyweight contender Roxanne Modafferi was, I think, my first or second interview. I can't remember, but I have a lot of experience with that. And I also, for a while, ran FrontierMMA.com. I wrote for Heidi Fang over at MMAFightCorner.com when she was running that, but that's no longer in existence to my understanding. And I was featured several times on Sirius XM Radio a few years back before that network went down the tube. The goals for this show is to really promote the sport of mixed martial arts as a whole. I'm a big fan of the women's scene, and a lot of my content may be WMMA heavy. That's what I specialize in. And I will talk a lot about rankings on this show, because I do my own rankings. I don't think, you know, the ones that are out there now are reliable. It's more based on biases and, you know, popularity rather than who deserves to be ranked in positions that they're in. But you're going to hear a lot on this show, and I hope you enjoy the content. Hopefully I get enough followers, enough shares out there to where, you know, this is something I could possibly make money doing. But if not, it's fine. This is fun for me. I love the sport. I love the people in the sport. And you're going to hear a lot of interviews and things that you're going to like going forward. So keep tuned in, and I hope to hear some feedback from you. And feel free to leave me some messages, and I'll, if they're good enough, I'll put them on the show, react to them, and make this an interactive thing for you guys. So take care, and I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back. And I realized in the previous segment that I didn't explain this further, but in the beginning of my shows, you're going to hear a lot of Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu alaikum, whatever, because I am a practicing Muslim. And also, you won't hear a lot of technical breakdowns of fights and everything like Luke Thomas does on the Monday Morning Analyst and stuff, because I am visually impaired and I do have limitations. My specialty is more on like the behind the scenes workings of the business of mixed martial arts, the ranking system, talking about how fighters match up, upcoming fights, moves promotion should make, and things like that. I will talk about fights, and we'll explain technique to the best of my ability, and because of my background in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I am able to do a lot of that, but a lot of the visual things I will miss because I am visually impaired. So enough of that. Let's move on and talk about the WMMA scene. I'm over here working on my atomweight rankings. I do top 20 for all five major WMMA divisions. And, you know, the atomweight division is one that may be on the move. It's currently promoted by the two major organizations promoting 105 is Invicta FC and Deep over in Japan. You see King of the Cage doing it a lot now, too. The UFC That's the only division that the UFC doesn't have now after announcing the flyweight division. And, you know, there's talent out there for it. You know, they have Ayaka Hamasaki. I don't know how long she's going to be ranked number one at 105 because she seems to be vacating her Invicta FC title to focus on moving back up to the 115-pound division. And Livia Renata Souza just ran through her when she tried her hand at it the last time. So we'll see. She made her name at 115, so it may be a good move, but I think she's better suited for 105. There are a lot of good fighters in the division. You see Fry moving back up in the rankings at number two. Seohee Ham left UFC and immediately knocked off the number two ranked fighter in the weight class. I think Mei Yamaguchi may be moving down in the future too. Moving back down in the future, I'm not sure. You have Andy Nguyen. You have Sheeta Padilla. A lot of people don't know about Sylvania Montero. She's a very good fighter. But one thing that bothers me about the division is that I see a lot of people ranking Janessa Miranda in the top 10. This is a girl out of her 9 fights she's made that atom weight limit once, and that was in her last fight. She was supposed to fight Fry a few months back and missed the weight or whatever, but like her whole career she's been fighting fighters that have losing records or don't have a professional win, and to rank someone like her, you know, in the top 10 of the division just makes no sense when she's only had one fight at the weight, and that wasn't against anyone who was ranked. So I think it's irresponsible journalism, and I think fans need to start calling these people out on these things. This is what I mean when I say, and you'll hear me say this a lot on the show, but this is what I mean when I say that most rankings are due based on biases and popularity, because Janessa Miranda is a popular prospect on the women's scene right now, especially at 105 when there's not a ton of hype around the division. It's starting to fill out now, but everyone's looking for a spark. Fans want to have a hot prospect to latch on to, and you know, with the unified WMMA rankings and some of the other ranking systems out there, ranking fighters like Janessa Miranda in the top 10, I just think is irresponsible and it really shouldn't happen. A lot of promise for the 105-pound weight class. You have Rizin, who said they were going to host a Grand Prix for the female fighters that compete down there later this year. And then that should spark a lot of interest. A lot of really good fighters from Shootbox coming up. And, so that's about it. I forgot that we were working with such limited time on this app. Hopefully they add more time to it in the future. But next up will be the women's strawweight division and who I feel is the top prospect in all of WMMA. First, everyone know the class of 115 is clearly Joanna Jędrzejczyk, but there's a lot of fighters in that division and a lot of moves being made. Claudia Gadeja has cemented herself up at number two, and she's a distant number two, just running through Karolina Kowalkiewicz. And you've seen Rose Namajunas and Tisha Torres pick up some victories. Randa Marcos is making a move with her huge upset over former champion Carla Esparza. Courtney Casey, in her last three fights, her only loss was to Claudia Gadelha. She was outpointed in that fight. Didn't really embarrass herself, but right before that fight she submitted Randa Marcos in the first round, and then followed that up after the Gadelha loss, she bounced back with a huge win over former WSOF champion Jessica Jack Aguilar. But another problem with many of the ranking systems out there that I will point out, and I feel is a mistake, is like with the unified rankings, they have Joanne Calderwood, who I'm a big fan of, but they have her as high as like 7, I think, 7 or 8 rankings before the loss to Cynthia Cavello. I had her around 13, 14, I can't remember, but now she's just outside of the top 15, so I'm not really understanding the thinking behind that. But strawweight is one of, well, is the deepest division in all of WMMA, and it's one of the few divisions that could be promoted by more than one organization and have quality fighters on each of the rosters. But someone people are not talking about, and this shows like the lack of education on the women's scene and even the mainstream outlets, is Willie Zhang. Willie Zhang is 13-1 as a professional fighter. Her first loss was in her first fight. She is on a 13-fight win streak. She has one decision victory in that win streak. And she has, I believe, 6 TKOs and 6 submissions, or 7 TKOs and 5 submissions, something crazy like that. She has a crazy, crazy finishing rate. Last year, she became the only woman to stop Emi Fujino, who's a Japanese star in WMMA, in her 29 professional fights. And she did it in the second round. And she's also a woman who is ranked in the top 15 at both, well, in the top 20 in both strawweight and flyweight. I have her just outside of the top 15 at strawweight, and I have her at 13 at flyweight. She just, back in May, she ran through a quality flyweight fighter in Simone Duarte, knocking her out in the first round. She's going to be fighting again this weekend, but Willie Zhang is someone that you all need to keep an eye on, and is someone that really needs to be given the respect she deserves and placed in her proper position in all rankings. But again, we're working with limited time here. I'm trying to get used to this app, so I'm gonna keep things short and probably finish up with the next segment, so stay tuned. Lastly is the women's flyweight division, and I apologize for keeping everything so short and not relying enough information, but this is just my first episode on MMA Scene Radio on this app, and it's more to just test it out and see how things work. But the women's flyweight division is the second division I feel that is capable of being hosted by more than one promotion. So I'm happy to see that the UFC has finally jumped on board and is currently filming the Ultimate Fighter 26, which will crown the inaugural UFC flyweight champion. And I'm really happy that Bellator is promoting the division as well. Also, it makes me a little fearful, because they tried this under Bjorn Rebney, the president of Bellator, right before Scott Coker came into the picture. If you remember, they had Zoila Frosto and Muna Holland and a lot of fighters under their banner, and they kept promising and promising and promising they were going to crown a champion and do this tournament format to crown a champion, and it never materialized. But Scott Coker has proven to be a fan of the female fighters and pushes those athletes and promotes those athletes the way they deserve to be promoted for the most part. And they're going after some big names. They went after Valerie Letourneau. Juliana Velasquez, who was ranked 17 at bantamweight, is dropping down to the flyweight division for Bellator. And, you know, they already have ranked fighters in the weight class. And Invicta, see, I don't know where this leaves Invicta with the UFC starting the flyweight division, Bellator hosting the flyweight division. The only division that Invicta has that's not being currently promoted by a top organization is the atomweight division. So I don't know if they're going to keep Invicta around, meaning the UFC, to be a feeder product, or if they're just going to get rid of it altogether. But yeah, at number 2, 2, Roxanne Modafferi, pushed back up into the number 2 slot. Earlier this year, she submitted Priscilla Souza. She submitted her in the second round, I believe, with an armbar, and then followed that up with a dominant performance for the most part against Sarah DeLillo, and ended up stopping her in the third, I believe. And I don't think Sarah has ever been dominated in that fashion. Roxanne Modafferi, ever since moving back to the States, has improved immensely. You can see it in her striking, you can see it in her grappling, you can see it in her conditioning. She's actually making the weight now and not missing weight or struggling to make weight. So this is the best Roxanne Modafferi I've seen, and I've been following her career since the beginning. But another fighter that no one's talking about is Arianne Lipsky out of KSW. She recently defeated Diana Belbita, and she's on, I believe, a 9-fight win streak or something like that, just knocking out people. She destroyed Sheila Gaff, and not even Amanda Nunes knocked her out in that fashion. So she's one to keep an eye on. Julia Silva just, you know, had an upset defeat, and against Mon Duarte was ran out of the building by Willie Jane. I don't have Anastasia Yankova ranked at flyweight because she has not made the weight in her 3 fights with Bellator, and I refuse to rank her. Again, irresponsible journalism for anyone to rank Yankova at 125 pounds when she hasn't made the weight in 3 fights. But there's a lot of promise for flyweight, and a lot of bantamweight fighters moving down, a lot of strawweight fighters moving up. You see Barham Hodjak is coming back to try her hand at the Ultimate Fighter, and just a lot of promise in the division. So everyone keep tuning. I hope you enjoy the first show, and the next one will be better, I promise. Take care.